Sources Tree Farm, and Murray & Company Realty. Proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus and proud to bring you this week's edition of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. As the UGA Griffin Campus grows with the great educational opportunities for our children, Round Oak Resources Tree Farm is growing our future with trees to support and assist our environment. Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realtors are proud supporters of the UGA Griffin Campus and area youth activities in Griffin and Spalding County. This is the University of Georgia Griffin News, brought to you over WKU AM 1450, 102.3 FM, The Rock 88.9 FM, and stream live on WKUradio.com. This program is to update our listeners on the many and exciting things at the University of Georgia Griffin with Dr. Lou Honeycutt and his guests. The program is made possible by Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farms and Murray & Company Realtors. And now today's program with Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Good morning, Griffin, Spalding, and the surrounding area. As always, we've got another great show for y'all, so welcome into the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. I have to tell you that the guests and I today are wet walking in, but that's a good reason because it actually was raining when we walked in, and it's not we had an umbrella, but we were sharing it, so my left side's wet and her right side, but that's all right. We do have a great show for y'all today. We're going to talk about not only the Dundee Cafe, but our vendor of the Dundee Cafe, who is Marcy Bradbury from the farm. And so, Marcy, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
And so the first thing we do on every show is any guest has to tell us their entire life story. So from birth until this seat right today, how did you get here? Who are you?
All right. Well, thank you again for having me. I really appreciate it. I was actually born in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
To my mother, who was a homemaker, and my father was a police officer. And unfortunately, he was killed in the line of duty. So after that, my mother moved, and we ended up with my stepfather and moved to Georgia.
Okay.
So that's how I ended up here. Went to school in Henry County, graduated from Henry County High School.
Warhawks.
Oh, that green and gold, I'm telling you. And so then I went on, I've done a couple of things in life. I owned a trucking company and a brokerage company for a long time. Yeah. So this is my second life, my second career. And when I stopped doing that, I went to culinary school. So I went to Southern Crescent Technical College, and I studied with Chef Boudier over there, and actually ended up working for him while I was a student. I was a above-age student, so I was a little older than most of the
traditional.
Students.
We call us traditional. Non-traditional students,
I was definitely a non-traditional
but
student.
But that's a good thing.
And so I was able to work with him, and then I left there and went to Highland Bakery in Atlanta and was an assistant pastry chef there. And so I gained a lot of knowledge. And then after that, decided I wanted to get into education. And I went to work for the Griffin-Spalding County School System in nutrition and did nutrition analysis. And then I worked with Ashley McLemore in federal programs, and when an opening came open at Griffin High School, I became their culinary instructor.
Very cool.
At Griffin High for 3 years and loved it. It was great, but it was time for me to move on, and now I'm here at From the Farm at the Dundee Cafe and cooking up some really, really good food for everybody.
So. Absolutely. Well, I tell you, we're in our eighth week. I can't remember now. It's all a blur from when you opened, but it's been a really great experience. We're going to talk about the experience we had getting you into the cafe. It was kind of a long, drawn-out experience, but since you've been in there, it's been pretty awesome, I think. I mean, and I know the food is very, very good, and farm fresh and all the good things that you want in food. We have available on the Griffin campus. So we're certainly glad you're there. Just to give a little background to everybody who's listening, and then we'll work up towards from the farm. The Dundee Cafe is in our historic mule barn built in 1913, and it was built because a building or a barn that was built in 1878 that had sat next to it got struck by lightning in 1912 and burned down. And so in 1913, when they were in the planning phases for a new barn, they said not wood, because lightning struck the last one. So they looked at a brand new way of doing concrete in the state of Georgia and the country at that time. Now it's very common. It's called slip form concrete. And so they built an entire barn out of concrete, which was very rare at that period of time, and that's why it's where it is, because we were and still are the experiment station of Georgia. So they built it. The original design had a wooden roof, and they nixed that. They said, nope, remember, the other one got struck by lightning. So it still has a metal roof, not the original one, but it even came with an original metal roof when it was built. Fast forward up to 2007, before the big 2008, everybody remembers 2008 for not a good reason. There had been an idea put forward by Jerry Arkin, my predecessor, to do something. It was a historically preserved building, so it wasn't going to be torn down. It was really kind of an eyesore just sitting there, and so they had thought, let's do some kind of snack bar. Let's do something that because students are on campus now and things like that. Then 2008 happened, and everybody quit thinking about building or spending or doing anything else and just tried to survive. So when I came along in 2015, it amazed me, the building in and of itself. And I heard very quickly about, hey, there, you know, it was supposed to be a snack bar at one time. Well, we kind of took that and put it on steroids and ran with it, found a donor, the Dundee Community Association, under the leadership of Tom Gardner, who fully funded the renovation of that project. When in 2015, when people said, when will you be open, my best guess was 2020. We didn't have the money yet. So I'm like, well, if we're open by 2020, I'll be happy. We opened in April of 2019, mm-hmm. So that's a little early, which was great. But and then to get you into the picture, we went through a really long process, even before I met you, to get a vendor in the cafe. This was the first time the University of Georgia ever did external food service or food off the main campus. And so everything was brand new and as you know, had to go through legal and procurement and everything else. We went through this whole process 9 months worth and got no applicants. So we had no one for the vendor of the cafe. Coincidentally, the president of the chamber in Pike County called my office and said, hey, we'd like to do a lunch and learn about the campus. Would one of y'all come over? So we're like, sure. So Melissa Gordon, my academic affairs director, and I went and did a lunch and learn. In the middle of lunch and learn, I had a picture of the cafe, and I'm like, we just got some really bad news. We've been working on this process. We have no vendor for the cafe, and what I want is like farm fresh, and I just went through this whole thing. The next day, I have this note on my desk saying, I thought it was a joke. I thought someone in my office was pulling a prank. It had your name, Marcy Bradbury. Would like to talk to you about the vendor in the cafe. So I didn't call you for like a day. I thought it was a joke. I thought somebody was playing a bad joke. Finally called you. Then it took us another 3 months to get you approved because, again, it was this new process. But you hung with us. Mm-hmm. We got you approved. And April 16th, we opened, and the rest is history. So that brings us up to your point. Let's talk about from the farm. Let's talk from about what you do and how you do it.
What I like to do is as much farm to table as possible. Of course, I like fresh food. There's something about looking at a plate and being able to see that something's fresh. So, like our tomato soup yesterday,
it was great.
Could tell that we made that soup. It wasn't from a can. It was chunky. It had bits of basil in it, and little
tasted
seeds.
Fresh. I mean, there was no doubt that it was fresh tomato soup, basil. It was incredible.
It was. And so I searched, and so we found some tomatoes out of Moultrie because I really tried to buy local as much as possible. But of course, tomatoes aren't ready yet, and the heat didn't help. And so one of my farms got me some out of Moultrie, Georgia. And so I was able to, you know, roast those and have those as our soups. And so our specials of the day are what we try to do as much farm to table as possible. Our regular menu has sandwiches and salads. Our sandwiches are all boar's head meats, if it's a deli sandwich. And the rest of it are homemade chicken salad,
mm-hmm.
which
is really
Dr. Honeycutt's favorite.
It's kind of my favorite, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a couple special ingredients in my chicken salad.
It's good.
A couple of special ingredients in my pimento cheese.
Ooh, I'm telling you,
pimento cheese.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the tuna salad one of the girls makes because I don't like it, but it's okay.
I haven't tried the tuna salad. I like tuna salad.
You'll have to try that. Yeah. So everybody likes it, but one of my girls makes it for me, so
very
she's
good.
Got a good recipe. And so we make those, you know, with as many farm fresh ingredients as we can get. We're working with Sutherland's Food Service and using their Georgia grown products.
Very
and
cool.
So anything that I can get that's Georgia grown. We've been buying from Reese's Market down the street, which is really nice. She does a great job of making sure we've got some good produce available and what we need. And so we try to take that and transform that into something that looks appealing but tastes great. And I've got to have a reason for people to come out there. I'm a little off the path.
Sure.
And so I've got to have good food. Exactly. We have good quantities. You're not going to leave there hungry.
No, you are not.
Yeah, we definitely like to feed people, and it makes me happy to feed people. I grew up, you know, with an Italian mother, and that's what we did. We fed people, and I've been feeding children my whole life. And so I actually enjoy it. And when my blessing of the day is I'm not making money right now. Of course, I just opened just like any other business, but the blessings that I get every day is when someone comes up and says, wow, that was so good. And I had my mentor come in yesterday and tell me how good the tomato soup was.
And that's pretty incredible when the chef at Southern Crescent comes in and says, by the way, this is incredible.
it's kind of like that.
That was a good accent, Tony. That was awesome.
And so, you know, I've been very, very blessed. And it was a very long process.
It was.
And in the middle of this process, I didn't mention earlier, I'm married to a wonderful man, Jamie Bradbury from Pike County.
He's a very patient man.
Very patient man. Extremely patient man. And I have two beautiful daughters, and my oldest and her husband were expecting a baby.
Yes.
And we were hoping to have the cafe open before the baby was born. But that didn't happen, and so we had to push off the opening, and I have a very gorgeous 12-week-old granddaughter, my first granddaughter, that
absolutely
I gush over every day.
In California, but now is it Virginia?
They're in Maryland.
Maryland. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm going to go see them July 4th week. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a beautiful granddaughter.
We really had just gotten the contract approved, and that's what took so long. Again, the university had not done an external vendor contract before, and so everything we did was brand new, and when you do something brand new at the university of Georgia or any large organization, it just takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
But we had finally got the contract signed. I don't remember if it was the day we signed it or what, but it was when you told me you might be going to California for a week, which we actually we all understood, and it was great. But you know, the timing wise, it seems like to me it took forever as well, the months before you even got here. But since April 16th, it doesn't seem like it's like buying a house. No matter what you have to go through to get the mortgage done, once you get it done, it's yours.
Yep.
Once we got you in place and open, I'm telling you, you open the doors to the cafe from any of the doors to go into, and it automatically makes you want it. It just smells incredible. There's tons of history in it. There's all kinds of great food. You are well known for your pastries, among other things. I try not to look at that case when I go in, but you introduced me to scones, and the reason that's kind of funny is because every time I talk to anybody about donating for this process or anything else, I always said, well, we'll have stuff like coffee and scones. I had never eaten a scone in my life. I didn't know what they were. I walked in one day and you had fresh blueberry scones out of the oven. I'm like, oh, I got to buy one because I've never had one. I say I did. It had giant blueberries in it. It was like a really good biscuit with blueberries in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. So you introduced me to
biscuit.
Scones. Yeah, sweet biscuit. So thank you for
introducing
me.
That's one of our biggest sellers are the scones.
They're awesome.
They're really good.
And so how do you choose your menu? I mean, I know this is a brand new undertaking for the University of Georgia, for the Griffin campus, and for you to have the restaurant, the stationary restaurant. But how do you decide on your menu? I mean, we had talked about here's kind of the basics we want to have, but you surprise me all the time. Like, for example, with shrimp and grits, which I think is coming up tomorrow.
Shrimp and grits day is tomorrow.
But, I mean, how do you decide, because you do a different soup every day for the mm-hmm. most part, and different, like teriyaki bowl last week, which was honestly the best teriyaki sauce, which I know you make.
Thank you.
It was incredible. But you're always coming up with these. I wait patiently for the Instagram picture to come up of the soup of the day just every morning. So I don't look at Instagram for much, but that's one of the things I look forward to. So what's your process in deciding?
Well, you know, I work a lot with McCreary Farms.
Okay.
And so I'll start with calling Steve and saying, what is on the farm that's available for me to cook? So for a couple of weeks, it was cauliflower.
Okay, yes.
The heat has killed the cauliflower and the broccoli. So we were making roasted cauliflower soup, and we would make you know, the broccoli and cheddar, which I have to keep on the menu because that is a great one. This week we had new potato soup because he said he had red potatoes he had just dug up, and they still smelled like earth.
Ooh, wow.
While I was cooking them.
Oh, that's awesome.
You couldn't get a fresher potato.
And I was in Athens that day, so I missed the new potato soup.
And it was, we sold out. I didn't even get a bowl.
That's what's awesome is you've been selling out a lot of the soups.
Yeah, we do. You got to get there early if you want our soups, especially shrimp and grits day. We do sell out on that. So we look at what's available at that farm. And then I've got a couple other farmers that are working on items right now. It's just, you know, the beginning of the growing season. And so as things come in, I'll put them on the menu. And so we saw some really beautiful bell peppers at Reese's. And so today is stuffed bell pepper soup, which was a hit the first time we had it. And so we've got some of the fresh tomatoes and some fresh bell peppers and everything that goes inside of a stuffed bell pepper, but in soup form.
Oh,
some
wow.
ground beef. And so it's a good hearty meal. And so we just plan out the week before, you know, what is available? What can I get on the Georgia Grown list that I get from Sutherland's? Mm-hmm. What can I get from the farm? And we go from there. And sometimes I just say, oh, this just sounds good. one of my favorites is a white bean and smoked sausage and kale soup. Ooh. that I like. And I made that, and it just went over real well. So we'll have that again on the menu. And I ask customers, what do you like? What would
sure.
you like to see? Because they might have some different ideas. And then I have some great young ladies that work for
you
me.
Do. You
really
do.
And they are very ingenuitive, and they come up with these menus. That stuffed bell pepper soup uh-huh. is actually, you know, Savannah's little creation there. She also made a
chicken. I hope you're going to say chicken parmesan.
Chicken parmesan
oh, my
soup.
Lord, Savannah
and
did
I cannot eat
job.
It. I'm a pastry chef with celiac disease. And
oh,
I can't
gosh.
eat the pasta. And everybody just raves over this chicken parmesan soup.
All your soups are good. Like the tomato may have surpassed it yesterday, but that the chicken to have chicken and it tasted like chicken parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
in a soup form, which is relatively healthy. I mean, you know, that it's better than eating chicken parmesan, but
yeah, because it's not fried.
It was incredible. it truly was.
So
and that was a creation of Savannah. I mean,
it was. Yeah, and they all give an input, and they'll say, "Hey, I'd like to make this," and I give them that go, and I want to, being a teacher. I really want to, you know, help them grow and help them, you know, invent stuff and come up with things and nurture them so they can take this, you know, and do further. So the enchilada casseroles, which was our casserole takeaway meal
sure.
this week, I didn't get one. I don't know why they didn't make me one. I probably didn't buy enough ingredients for it, but Savannah took it home, and this was, again, Savannah's suggestion,
uh-huh.
and she took it home, and her grandmother said she needs to be in charge of the casseroles from now on, because it was just that good.
That's
and
awesome.
So I love being able to nurture that out of them and teach them more about, you know, go ahead, try this something special, try something new.
Sure, and that's the advantage, and I think that's so glad. That's one of the reasons I'm so glad you're in place, but I think it's also great that you're in the position you are at the University of Georgia Griffin campus, because you can experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, that's a great place to be. I mean, for all of us concerned. But let's talk casseroles for a minute, because I think what some of the listeners don't know, and then we'll talk about how they can contact. Let me back up a little bit. One of the things this facility is doing, but that I'd hoped that it would do, and it has, is really take the last perception away from anyone in the community, anyone in the state, anyone in the region, that they weren't supposed to be on campus. Mm-hmm. There for decades, and it was only a perception. No one ever said that, but fences went up a decade or more ago, not to keep everybody out, more to keep everybody in, I think. But but fences went up. Good fences make good neighbors kind of thing. There isn't any homeland security reason for fences. They just went up. They're not coming back down. It's too expensive to put them up. But the gates are always open. So, but there was still this perception that as a citizen of Griffin-Spalding County or the surrounding area, I'm not supposed to be there. However, everyone would come into the Stuckey Auditorium for events and go to the garden. They just didn't compute that's the campus. And so we've done many, many things to get rid of that perception. The cafe was the last mm-hmm. step. And I said to everyone, I still say this is going to be, we depend, you and I depend on the community to make this thing successful. We have 325 people that work on campus, but at any given day, a bunch of them are international travelers or they're doing research. So we don't have enough mix of people on campus at any one time to make a cafe succeed. We depend on the public to come mm-hmm. in, and they have. It has been incredible, hasn't it?
It has.
See
it's been great.
The mix of people that are coming in and repeat coming in. And so people, it's easy to get to. I mean, you come in the main gate, you can park in main parking and walk up to it. It's not very far. We have some parking places right next to it. We want people, and then enjoy campus while you're there. Go to the campus store, walk around, enjoy the garden, go do something else while you're on campus. It is a state property that you're welcome to come to and certainly come and have a
Which
meal.
Which I didn't know until this, so it's great.
Sure.
And so I was one of those people that didn't know I could come on campus. But now
you're not
I'm
alone. There are a bunch.
Every day.
Absolutely. As are a lot of the community people and a lot of campus people. You get a lot of campus traffic, and of course, including me. This is Rotary Day, so I have to tell you on Thursdays I can't come in. So I always ask you what the soup is. So I know what to be jealous of. But tomorrow, Shrimp and Grits Day.
Shrimp and Grits.
I will definitely be there. And for those who are their mouths are watering already, Marcy catered a donor event for us back in November or December. I can't remember when I knew you were going to be the vendor, but we didn't have it solidified yet. So we were already using you, and you did shrimp and grits in shot glasses. And I'm going to tell you, I probably did 400. I don't know how many I did. You kept walking around with a tray, and I said, okay, here's the deal. Sometime, somewhere, you got to have shrimp and grits in the cafe. And I'm telling you, it has been – because tell everybody what else you add to it. It's not just shrimp and grits.
Oh, no. We add a smoked sausage and bell peppers and onions and some good seasonings. That's what helps. And then, of course, it's the grits. The grits are, you know, might have a little heavy cream, might have a whole lot of cheese,
but no cheddar,
Parmesan.
I mean,
whatever catches our fancy and tastes pretty good, you know.
But it's good. I mean, it's better than good. And again, anybody listening, we invite you to come out tomorrow, because I'll guarantee you I'll be there before it runs out.
Yeah.
You know, and it may run out. I mean, that's a good problem to have if you run out of things.
Because we only do it every other week. We only do shrimp and grits every other week.
And it's been, I think, highly successful. I know every time I've certainly sold a lot of them because I'm not talking up all the time. But not just that. Everything's good. And I've not had anything in there that I wouldn't tell anyone. That's when I walk up with new people, I'm like, order whatever. I've fallen into a habit, which I always do, soup of the day and a croissant, half sandwich croissant chicken salad, because your chicken salad is incredible.
It is
and just so
put
fresh
my foot in my chicken
man,
salad. It's good.
It is.
And the croissants, and if I could eat them, I would be as big as a house.
They are good.
They, you know, we special order those.
And actually, the thing really people ought to take away from that is, I just said, and it's a small cup of soup and a half sandwich, but I am full when I walk out. It is very filling food. It's very it's just good comfort food.
Well,
I mean,
you
know, yeah. I mean, yeah, and, you know, I'm not just trying to sell eat. So, you know, I believe it or I wouldn't say it. Like, I come there to eat too much. But so we talked about your process of how you decide on the meals, but you do have a great. I don't use the word staff. I say team. But you have a great team of and I can say girls because it happens to be all girls right now. But we were talking on the way over. You might have to, you know, hire a guy
or
at some
hire
point
a guy, yeah.
Just to break up the monotony. But they are an incredible group, very engaging. They're very, you know, they walk in and do the thing that I think so. Or when anybody walks in, they're smiling at them and talking to them, and that we want people to feel comfortable.
Yes.
Whether they're sitting inside or sitting outside. On some of the hottest days, I still sit outside under the fans on the covered porch. It's very comfortable. It's not, you know.
Get a good breeze through there.
It is.
So the young ladies that I have working for me, two of them, I'm lucky enough to have former students from Griffin High School.
Awesome.
One is just here for the summer, and I know it's short term, but I'll hire her anytime. She's great. Gabby's a great girl. And then Savannah graduated 2015 from my program. And so those are two of those. And then I have two other young ladies that are from Spalding High. One is a senior, going to be a senior this year, Miss Allie. And then Katie just graduated, and she's leaving me because, you know, she got married and her husband's stationed in Hawaii. And for some reason, she wants to live in Hawaii.
Imagine that. I mean, Hawaii or Griffin, I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm lucky enough to have – lucky enough to have those, you know, those former students, so they've got a little bit of back training.
Absolutely.
When you say the passion, though, that they bring, especially, you know, you talked about Savannah kind of being an idea person,
mm-hmm.
the passion that they bring, are you surprised that they were able to match yours from the farm?
Yes, pleasantly surprised. It is great, because Savannah actually does that. She really does care about what she's making, and she wants to put out a good food. And that, to me, is a sign of a good chef.
Absolutely.
That you really care, at the end of the day, what you have put out. Not that you've done your job and you've come in and you work your 8 to 5, but she goes above and beyond. And she's calling me from home, and she's like, what do you think about this? We could do this and that. And I think it's wonderful. And, you know, to be able to nurture that is great, because she's very young. She's, I think, 22. It's very young.
Not to knock young people, but they a lot of young people in today's generation want jobs, but they don't want to work.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes, I know.
And it doesn't seem like you're having that difficulty.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I did hire my daughter for a little while, but you know how that works. So, she actually is our artist for the board
and
our barista. Yeah, she does. She does real good.
You know, that's something I want you to get into, the specialty coffees.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That is one of the hallmarks from the farm, mm-hmm. and the Dundee Cafe. So if you could, you know, fill the listeners in on, you know, where you get your coffees and what it is you offer.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, we are lucky enough to partner with Queen Bee Coffee in McDonough, Georgia. And Alicia and I met each other because we set up tents next to each other at the Henry County Farmers Market.
Oh, cool.
And so that's how we met. We were both working farmers markets, you know, peddling our goods. And so I met her then, and now she has this wonderful facility down right off the square in McDonough. So they roast their own beans down there, and they get all their beans from sustainable sources. And so I get those from them, and I'm not a coffee drinker. However, we make this dark chocolate raspberry iced latte.
Oh my Lord.
That will change your mind to be a coffee drinker. It is, you know, I have to taste it every time they make one because it is just delicious.
Well, I'm going to throw out a marketing idea for you. And this just struck me. You know, your mentor, Patrick Boutier, mm-hmm. at Southern Crescent, they, every year Southern Crescent does a wine and food pairing.
I know.
You ever put any consideration into doing like a coffee and pastry?
Ooh.
No, I haven't. That would be fun because I am a very large part of the food and wine pairing. I'm on the board at Southern Crescent.
No, I just think, you know, because, you know, different flavored coffees would require different flavored pastries.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
That
and her pastries.
Well, have just an apple Danish and a cup of coffee. You know, if you've got, you know, your raspberry latte, it might pair up differently
then with
bring
the apple
out the
cinnamon,
flavor in both a little better.
It would. That's a great idea.
That is very good.
That is a good idea. Dr. Honeycutt is he likes our non-Crozet coffee.
Yeah, I say the coffee. I'm a utilitarian coffee drinker, and so I buy what's ever on sale at Crozet is my type of coffee. But so I kind of fought the idea of the espresso machine because the expense was coming to me. And one of our people that worked there, we call him Tall David, but he's an incredible component of our team there on facilities, and he's very gentle with me. I wish he would just get to the point and say, "You're an idiot. Let me tell you what I need to tell you." But he does it very gently, and he came up one day and said, because I'd said no to the espresso machine. And he said, "Let me ask you a question. Will you walk down there and buy a cup of coffee from your office?" I said, "No, I have coffee up here." And then I'm like, "Oh, okay. I think I get you." And he said, "No one else is going to walk in there on a general day and buy plain coffee, probably. But they will go in and get a mocha latte, frotty, fluidy, whatever thing that it is." He sold me. I said, "Okay, I get it." And he said, "You won't regret it." And I haven't. I mean, it's been a good thing.
I will tell you. 3 weeks before we opened, I was told we're buying an espresso machine and that I needed to learn how to use it. And I don't drink coffee. So it was interesting. But we have, my daughter, of course, she thinks she's a sommelier of coffees. I don't know. And so she got in there and she loved it. And so she taught me and then she was able to teach the rest of the girls. You know, how to use it and what to come up with. And we've just got some new flavors coming in. We got a Cinnabon.
Oh, yeah, now, see, I might have to do that.
And a tiramisu, a Cinnabon and a tiramisu.
Gosh.
So we're trying to try some new things.
Oof.
Yeah, I know.
You got to be making people drool. I don't know.
Yeah, you can thank Savannah for those.
And I want to talk more about Savannah because you've kind of elevated her and what she's doing,
yes,
too. But I think, Tony, let's take our bottom of the hour break. We'll come back, and the time goes too quick here, but we'll come back and talk more about the Dundee Cafe and From the Farm.
You're listening to the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News on WKEU AM 1450 on the radio dial in Griffin, Georgia. Also heard on 102.3 FM as well as 88.9 FM, The Rock, Georgia Public Radio at its finest. This morning's program will continue after this.
Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realty. Proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus and proud to bring you this week's edition of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. As the UGA Griffin Campus grows with the great educational opportunities for our children, Round Oak Resources Tree Farm is growing our future with trees to support and assist our environment. Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realtors are proud supporters of the UGA Griffin Campus and area youth activities in Griffin and Spalding County.
time to resume this morning's University of Georgia Griffin campus news. To do so, let us let the host take over. He is the assistant provost and the campus director on the UGA Griffin campus, Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Thank you, Tony. Welcome back, everybody. We're having fun today. We have fun every day, but this first 30 minutes went by really quick with today Marcy Bradbury, culinary artist and owner of From the Farm, who is the official vendor of the Dundee Cafe on the University of Georgia Griffin campus. So welcome back, Marcy.
Thank you again for having me.
We're talking about a whole lot of things. Anytime we're talking about food, I lose track of everything. I mean, especially if it has cinnamon or, for example, your apple cinnamon scones, which I should have never eaten, I could eat 12 at one setting. I'd be ill afterwards, but I would still do it. Anyway, so I'm getting off track again. I want to talk about Savannah a little longer because I know the people that work for you, your team has been great. And again, I told you they smile, they talk to everybody. They're just very engaging. But Savannah kind of surprised you, which was in a good way. And so tell us a little more about her.
Well, of course, she's a graduate of Griffin High.
Right.
In 2015, she actually worked at Stepping Stones for a while. She thought she wanted to go into early childhood. And then realized she didn't want to go into early childhood, which
I completely
understand.
That takes a special person.
It does. It does. They have to read, write, and do arithmetic before they can get to me. And I just want to, bless all those teachers out there.
Absolutely.
They're on their break, well-deserved. So when Savannah came in, I hired her just like I did the rest of the young ladies I have there. And, got to working, and she just moved up and started experimenting and started doing a lot of stuff. And she now comes in and opens for me, which is a godsend because, getting there at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning and staying till 5:30, 6 o'clock at night can get to be a little much. And so she does that. And so I've been able to transfer some of my responsibilities over to her, like the soups of the days or the casseroles of the week. And, she helps out with a lot of that. And, if someone needs to know what to do and I'm not available, say I'm in a meeting with you or, doing some administrative work, she's able to take over a lot of the kitchen duties. And I'm very blessed with that. Very, very blessed with that.
And she's a great presence. All of them are. But Savannah, she's just happy.
I know you can't talk to
Savannah and not be happy.
I know.
And if you mention, which I always do, like, my gosh, your chicken parm soup was incredible. She just beams.
She does.
It's just awesome to have that kind of, and I would go back to something Tony said when he was asking, how you get people to be enthusiastic. You're enthusiastic. It's tough to be around you and not let that be catching. So I can't imagine someone being successful with you and being old gloomy Gus.
I can't do it. Well, go back to my background. I've cooked since I was a little kid. Growing up in our family, you had to cook. I'm number 6 out of 8 children.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of us, and everybody had chores, and we all had to do stuff. And mine was cooking. I liked cooking. I have cooked some of the best and some of the worst food you've ever said. I made these deer steaks one time, and they could have used them in the war. They were that bad. I mean, it was horrible. And so, most kids for their 16th birthday get a car. I got a Justin Wilson cookbook.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I guarantee.
Yes, absolutely. And so in 2008, you talked about that earlier, after 2008,
yes.
I finally hung on a little bit with my trucking company, and then I finally closed it. By the end of 2009, I was fully closed and gone. I kind of lost everything. And, everybody said, go to college, because I'd never gone to college. And, everybody said, go to nursing school. Seriously, Dr. Honeycutt, you've known me since September. Could you see me as a nurse?
I think you're in the perfect where you need to be.
I am. I would be. I bless nurses because they are special people.
Absolutely.
There's no way I could do that. And so I sat down with my mom and my bishop of my church, and we brainstormed and said, what am I going to do? I need to go to college. I didn't have a college degree. I was very successful in what I did. And
sure.
And my mom said, well, go to culinary school. And I said, that's frivolous. That's what I love doing. That's fun. I can't go to culinary school. And I did. And they convinced me to do it. And I was able, I was a single mother at the time of 2 daughters. And my mother moved in with me, and she had MS. And so I was taking care of her. And so I was able to go to college. I had the Hope Grant because I was at the technical college I'd never gone before. And I was able to keep my GPA to this day is still a 4.0. It mattered to me.
You are a
college.
Type A person. You and I got along from day one because of that. But
yeah,
you are very.
I'm a perfectionist. Yes. Yeah. No one got a better grade than me. And so I did. I went to culinary school and I excelled in culinary school, and that's why the chef hired me.
Sure.
And every step that I've had, I've been able to show somebody just a little bit. little bit special about myself. And that's what I see in Savannah. There's something a little bit special about her, and I'm going to push her to work on that. And,
sure.
and she'll leave me eventually. And I know that,
think
that
about
she'll
that.
Grow.
Sure.
And she may end up on her own. She may do something. Who knows?
Absolutely.
But what she's learning there is more than she could learn anywhere else. And we've got this very young lady, Allie. She's 17.
Yes.
And she works there. And the girls tell her all the time how lucky she is to have this as a first job.
Oh, gosh. I agree.
And because it's a great atmosphere. And so she stays late with me. And when we have our late days, and helps me prep for the next days. And I teach her something all the time. You're never going to get the teacher part out of me.
Right.
Didn't realize
sure.
how much I was a teacher before I became a teacher. And I did go to Valdosta State for that, so I do have a degree
there
in
you
teaching.
Go.
But I'm able to work with these young ladies and nurture them, and to me it's just fantastic.
Oh, I agree.
And so with Savannah, I just see something. And people have seen in me, Lori Yeomans, she was the nutrition director at Griffin Spaulding, and I interviewed for a job there, and she saw something in me.
Sure.
And that is why I am where I am now, because she hired me as a contractor, and then it went on from there, and I became a teacher. And had I not done that, I wouldn't be where I am now.
That, so. And see, you, without me even, I did not segue you into that at all. But what I love hearing on this show, and so many times we do, I count myself in the lucky group, too, to have had a mentor, happened to be my grandmother, but a mentor figure of mine that said words to me that changed everything in my life, which I thought was crazy at the time. Hers was, there's more to you than this, go to college. And I was going to ranch all my life. I was never going to college, and I stayed in there forever, but still am in there. But a lot of people don't have that. And so you had, Lori, when people see that spark, and just like you're saying with Savannah, mm-hmm. those the things we say to them, the things that Lori said to you, that you say to Savannah, can literally change their lives forever in a,
yes.
a career track or different things that they may not have looked at. So I applaud you for having one and you for being one, because people need that now.
They have to. You have to. And that was, you know, all people need that. And it's not always someone in your family, because
exactly.
your family can be brutally honest
sure.
with you. And
absolutely.
I have seven brothers and sisters, so I know brutally honest. But, you know, always having someone to root you along is a huge thing.
Absolutely.
And it's worked for me. It's, you know, when someone says they see something special in you, it really does matter, and you remember that for the rest
you
of your
do.
Life.
You do. And to be able to follow your passion. You know, there are days that I don't like my job at all, but for the most part I love my job, mm-hmm. and everybody has those days. But to be able to follow your passion in food or whatever it is, that it's incredible to be able to do that. I've said, and people say this all over, I don't care if you're making $1 million a day, if you hate what you're doing every day, it isn't worth it.
Mm-mm.
And so, like you said, you're not making money right now. You know, I'm in the university system. We're not going to be rich when we retire, but if you love what you do and you're following your passion, that's a plus.
Very much so. Very much so.
Okay,
lucky
so
to have a supportive husband who
oh you
has
and you
really
are
good
Jamie's
job.
Been great. You know, we've talked before, y'all are polar opposites. He's very quiet, at least quiet and unassuming when I've visited with him. Very incredibly lots of integrity and nice and all that, but way different from you, which
way
is great.
Way different,
because you're very outgoing. Very,
you
know,
can't put two of me in a room. You couldn't. My personality is too big, and I know it. I'm a middle child.
But so y'all compliment each other very, very well.
Yeah, he's the baby of his family. I'm the middle child.
There you
so
go.
We're good. Yeah, yeah.
That's
he's
cool.
He's very patient with me because I haven't had a paycheck since like February. So.
It's coming. It's got to be coming.
We're doing good, though.
Things are going well.
I mean, you know, going back to the restaurant, to the cafe, we're busy. We're
exactly.
busy, and we, you know, I'm able, when I first, you know, set this plan, I thought I was going to have three employees, and
right.
I'm able to employ five people
right.
now, and I would really like to bring on another eventually and work more on the to-go dinners. And so, you know, to me, I'm blessed by being able to provide a job for, you know, it's only
yes.
five people, but it's five people that didn't have a job before I came along.
Exactly.
Well, and it's not
so.
Just that. It's the opportunity, in addition to that, to nurture somebody like Savannah, who is, you know, that's worth its price in gold by itself.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No, I agree.
Look, I got a shout out to the rest of my girls. They're going to think I don't
told
talk about them.
When I was discovered that you were going to be the guest, I was told by my wife, when she found out about casseroles, she said, if you don't find out what kind of casseroles they do, don't even bother coming home. Because my wife and I do very little cooking. She's in the medical field, and I'm just awful. I pour a mean bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and that's about the extent of my culinary skills. So, you know, take-home casseroles, to me, this sounds like a very novel and could be a very potentially lucrative idea What are we talking about here?
Well, it actually is. It's what I did on the side before I got the contract with Dr. Honeycutt. So what we do is we have just a basic meal. So usually it's an entree, a soup and a salad. And so you can order all three. You can order one, whichever one you want. And always on my order forms, I have chicken salad and pimento cheese because those are our biggest sellers.
Which are two of her favorite staples.
Yes, and they're so good. We sell those by the pound. But I would, before this, I had, you know, would make food and deliver it to the schools, Pike County and Griffin schools, because of course I knew everybody in sure. You know, the Griffin schools, and then at Pike I was the FFA alumni president, so I knew a lot of the
and
teachers
there.
What a
huge FAA that county has.
Oh my goodness, our FFA is tremendous. Incredible. It's a blessing. It's blessed my daughter, she was in the program, and so those stay on there because my Pike County people, you know, they can't live without my chicken salad and pimento cheese. And so what it is we do this once a week right now. We will lead up to two times a week, which, again, we'll employ one more person. So I don't put it on Facebook and I don't put it on Instagram.
Okay.
Yet. It's a yet, because I will. Once our website is finished, you'll actually be able to order on our website, pay on our website, tell me what time you want to pick up, and we'll have it ready that next day. So right now, on Thursdays, I email the campus, and whoever else wants to be on my email list, I email out the menu. And you usually have until Monday around 1 o'clock to order, and then you pick up on Tuesday the next day after 3 o'clock. We usually have them ready after 3 o'clock. And so last week it was chicken enchilada casserole. The week before, I don't remember.
I can't remember.
Maybe
either,
quiche. I've done quiche. We've done stuffed shells and cheese. I know I have a mean chicken pot pie coming.
Ooh.
So I had a request from Joe Kelly over at GRCCA for some pot pie.
Any to anything vegetarian. Not that I am, because, oh, no. But my wife is very rarely will eat meat products.
Well, and see, that's the thing, is we do that because we have a lot of vegetarians on campus.
Right.
And the stuffed shells and cheese. We do stuffed shells with no meat sauce.
She would do the chicken enchilada because she's had that and liked it.
Okay. Most things I can make either gluten-free or vegetarian. Because I have to do that a lot for campus.
Sure.
And then I have to do gluten-free for myself. And so I'm pretty good about on my menu stating, you know, all veggie.
Right.
Or gluten-free. You know, you can do like a quiche. We would do a crustless quiche, which is kind of like a frittata. But you would do a crustless quiche, and that would be a gluten-free one. Or I do a meat lovers or a veggie lovers. So I try to accommodate.
I would suggest maybe not doing this the week of Thanksgiving, because I do think you'd get overwhelmed.
At Thanksgiving, we do pies. I make beautiful pies. I don't eat them. I would if I could, but I make beautiful pies. Last Thanksgiving, by myself, I was managing a restaurant down in Zebulon, and I made 26 pies in 3 days.
Oof.
So, and but they're
they
beautiful.
Well, I've had your little pecan pies.
Sort of yeah, the little
being
minis.
Loaded with personality, you're also loaded with caffeine, because if you're going to make 26 pies in 3 days, you're pretty much
Red
around
Bull
the clock.
Red Bull was my friend, yeah. But it's fun, and so we'll have pie orders. But you can order a pie from me now, and... Yeah, one of our customers that comes in all the time, Miss Sybil, she came in and she had a funeral to go to and asked for a couple of pies. And never made a rhubarb pie in my life. Never made one. But there's not much. I mean, I can throw anything together. And made her a rhubarb pie and a bourbon pecan pie. And she said everybody just loved it. The bourbon pecan pies are my biggest seller.
That sounds good.
That
sounds
good.
I'm not a pecan guy, but you throw the bourbon in there, we got a deal.
Ooh. That's a good point.
It is a good item. And so you can actually call and order those. I need 24 hours advance notice in order to make a pie, because we just don't make them on, you know, that day. I've got to go get the bourbon, I reckon.
Well, there you go.
I got a little bourbon at the shop I'm trying to keep the girls out of. But, yeah, so anything like that. So basically you need to get on my email list right now. So if you want to get on the email list, you can call the cafe. Or you can, if you come into the cafe, we usually have a stand with the menu on there, and you can order at that time. But as soon as the website is up, you order, pay, and designate a day and time to pick up. It's all done there. It'll actually be available for lunch, too. Mojo is the service that I use for our POS system, and they're hosting my website and setting it up where you can actually order all your food on there.
Well, real quick, what's the number for the cafe?
The cafe is 770-228-7295.
7295. And then also, can they email you and get on your email list? What's your email address?
Is itsfromthefarm@gmail.com.
And that also is your Instagram account, because I follow you on Instagram. Like I said, I wait for the soup.
From the farm on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. And then right now, you're open. I say we all the time, but I have nothing to do with it. But you're open from 7 to 3, Monday through Friday, mm-hmm. and then you stay open late on Tuesdays
yeah, to do the just for the pickups, yeah.
And so breakfast and lunch, mm-hmm. we want people to understand there is breakfast, grit bowls, and I don't know what all you got over there.
We may put heavy cream in those grits, ooh. Too.
So, I mean, people are welcome to come on their way to work. Pick up something.
And
you've always got
coffee.
Scones and turnovers and all kinds of
good. We're bringing
good
in some. We've got some. Now that we've got lunch down and we've got our panini press out.
Okay.
So that
okay.
came out yesterday. We made some killer grilled cheese sandwiches. I even have gluten free bread ooh, for people okay. who are gluten free. If they want a sandwich, it's not. I can't certify because the press is going to
sure,
be used for
sure.
things. But we are going to bring in some things. I'll have some surprises for breakfast because I really want to start working on breakfast.
You do a strawberry pecan salad.
Yes, we do. Yes,
she,
with my chicken salad.
That's why she made sure that I yeah. found out about the casserole. She had the strawberry pecan salad, and
yes.
so you need to go find out.
Yes, yes. I don't know what next week is yet. Savannah and I were brainstorming this morning, so
we'll
know
even,
by the end of the day. The email will be out by the end of
and
the day.
And you can even order salad. You can do the take-home mm-hmm. salads and soup and yeah. alone or with mm-hmm. the combinations.
But. So last week's soup, a salad was, it was roasted corn and black bean chopped salad mm. with a chipotle ranch.
Nice
it's really
you
good.
Look for the variety. You're not doing what everybody else mm-mm. does. I mean, you know, you can get a pecan salad, the strawberry salad, a lot of places now. I mean, one place tried it, it worked, and everybody kind of jumped on board. But a roasted corn, that's entirely new to me.
It is. It's good, though. But it's really good. It's really good. When fresh corn comes in season, that will definitely be on the menu all the time.
I'm not a salad guy in particular, but I like a place that's willing to experiment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what you've been doing. I think that's great. You've got the freedom to do that. You and I talked about a basic menu, and I said, knock yourself out. I mean, it's been incredible to see that variety. And just like Tony said, I'm not a big salad guy either, but your salads are incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Well, the strawberry pecan salad, I love that salad.
Yeah, I love that
salad with my chicken salad.
So we want everybody to come in Monday through Friday. Give them the number again real quick.
It's 770-228-7295.
And then the website again?
It's fromthefarm@gmail.com.
And if they Instagram that as well, they mm-hmm. can get your announcements because you send out the soup
every day,
which is cool. I want to talk, we're going to go to the break in just a minute, but I want to talk about kale for a second because I walked in one day to the cafe. I think Jamie was there. Anyway, I walked
yeah,
in
I had
one day.
I actually had a bunch of people there.
And you said, hey, I want you to try my kale salad. And my reaction was far from positive because my experience with kale had always been the big, giant pieces that are like cardboard and bitter and all this kind of stuff. I know it's a superfood. I know all this good kind of stuff. But you convinced me with peer pressure because of the table I was sitting at with all y'all to try your kale salad because you said it's baby kale. It's mm-hmm. not – and you have a unique name for it, which is?
Mule feed.
Thank
you,
Mark Camp.
Because we're
in the mule barn. So I did take a bite of it. It was incredible. So I'm telling you, as a kale non-liker – I'm not going to say hater, but non-liker – it was incredibly good and a superfood.
It is.
So tell us
it's
about your kale
really
salad.
Good. And I understand that.
Chow.
In this process, I actually ran out of kale one day for kale salad and had to go. I went to Kroger and bought kale. I probably shouldn't say I bought it at Kroger, but I just went and bought kale at a grocery
a large
store.
Chain supermarket.
And we made the salad and I tasted it because I eat it all the time and I threw it all out. And we just didn't have it that day. And now I understand why people don't like kale. That stuff was horrid.
It's really bitter when it's big.
It was bitter and it was chewy. But Steve McCurry actually grows all this for us. And he cuts it and it's no more than 6 inches, six to eight inches. And it's very tender. And we chop it up. So it's with kale and quinoa, which is a grain. It's an ancient grain. Kale, quinoa, craisins. A lemon vinaigrette that we make in-house, and feta cheese. So you've got bitter and tangy and sweet and creamy all together. And one of the teachers from Pike, Greg Waits, is the one that said, hey, you need to add a cheese to this. We were experimenting that day. And, you know, Mark Camp was at the table, and he says, well, it sounds like it should be mule feed. And, of course, my husband, the nice one, says, only a mule will eat it. And Dr. Honeycutt loves it, so I guess we're all mules.
Well, because that's who was at the table. It was Greg and Beth and all of them were at the table that day when you pressured me into trying it.
I did pressure
it.
And you
liked it.
But it
was good. It was very, very good.
And people come in and they're pleasantly surprised because we'll give you a sample. We'll give you a taste of anything we have.
Sure.
And they were pleasantly surprised.
It's very good.
With the kale salad because it's all your taste.
Okay, we're going to go to our top of the hour or our 10-minute break and then or 10-minute to the hour break. I don't really know what I'm saying. But when I come back, I want to talk about the cups for coffee.
Yes.
The names of the cups and some other things.
And then we want to make sure we cover the grand opening.
Oh. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this morning's University of Georgia program will continue after this.
Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realty. Proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus and proud to bring you this week's edition of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. As the UGA Griffin Campus grows with the great educational opportunities for our children, Round Oak Resources Tree Farm is growing our future with trees to support and assist our environment. Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realtors are proud supporters of the UGA Griffin Campus and area youth activities in Griffin and Spalding County.
In announcements from the UGA Griffin Campus, a Kids Cooking Basics Camp with Trudy Gill will be offered June 10th through 13th. The four-day camp offers both morning and afternoon sessions. For information and registration, visit the UGA website at griffin.uga.edu and click on Continuing Education. The Dundee Cafe, located in the historical UGA Mule Barn, will celebrate its grand opening Thursday, June 13th at 11 a.m. Chef Marcy Bradbury with From the Farm offers fresh culinary delights for breakfast and lunch Monday through Friday, along with take-home pre-ordered casseroles. The meals and specialty coffees are served inside and on the outside veranda. The Dundee Cafe sits in the heart of the Griffin campus and is a welcoming place to meet and eat for the entire community. The renovation of the Mule Barn was made possible through a gift from the Dundee Community Association. The campus store, located on the first floor of the Flint Building at 1109 Experiment Street, has new UGA and Georgia Bulldog items arriving weekly. The shelves are now stocked with officially licensed UGA apparel, souvenirs, and gifts. The store hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. You can schedule a UGA Griffin Campus tour. Visit the Griffin Campus website to schedule a tour and learn about all the available UGA degrees offered here in Griffin, or you can schedule a time to come out and see for yourself all the wonderful aspects of the campus. Visit griffin.uga.edu and click the Campus Tour link. And for information on the undergraduate and graduate degrees offered through the five university colleges at UGA Griffin, you can visit griffin.uga.edu or call 770-412-4400. Dot the I's and cross the T's on this week's University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. A big grand opening is upcoming on the campus. We're going to talk about that at this time as we turn the proceedings back over to our host. Here is Dr. Lou Manica.
Thank you, Tony. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, let's do talk grand opening because we back in October had a building dedication event and about 250 people showed up. It was incredible. But there was the University of Georgia had never opened a cafe before or anything off campus like this. We opened a lot of buildings. We dedicated a lot of buildings and there was a misconception and it's my fault that we didn't get the word out to clarify that wasn't the cafe opening. And everybody else, we had catered food there that day, so everybody assumed they could come the next day and the cafe would be open. That was our building dedication. We're having next week your dedication. Mm-hmm. So it's not the University of Georgia's. It's not the Dundee Cafe. This is you're a member of the Chamber mm-hmm. of Commerce, and this will be the Chamber of Commerce opening for From the Farm in the Dundee Cafe. Mm-hmm. You have a really long name like the rest of us in our titles and all that.
Man.
Let's talk about that a little bit. So when is it?
It is next Thursday the 13th. Okay. So Thursday the 13th at 11 a.m. And so it is our ribbon cutting and grand opening.
And we're not going. And what? And that's for anybody listening that's in Rotary, as I am. That's before Rotary, so you mm-hmm. come to the grand opening. And we talked about that when y'all set the time.
But it's greatly timed because you're right in that breakfast lunch window.
Absolutely,
that's what we were trying to.
And our goal is to get. We'll do the ribbon cutting. I'm not going to say. I hate to say simple, but the simple ribbon cutting that the chamber does, which is great, mm-hmm. to get the publicity out. And then we hope everybody will stick around, other than the Rotarians. And eat a meal. We're not going to have it's not going to be like a catered event and all that, but the cafe's open.
Yes,
so
the cafe will be open.
Once the ribbon's cut, we hope people will stick around and
eat
some of
your food. I'm not even sure what the soup's going to be yet.
How could you not? I mean, you go in there and smell it, you're staying.
Yeah, and if I put croissants in the oven right before it happens, those are those turnovers. You know, because peach has gotten seasoned, so we had peach turnovers.
Gosh.
We had strawberry cream cheese turnovers. Those are...
for our when you came in to do the official tasting for the committee to bring us some food, you brought apple turnip, which I don't know if you knew at that time how big of an apple fan I am, but I already knew I wanted you in there, but you sold me with your apple turnovers. They
were
incredible.
Yeah, make a homemade pie filling, yeah.
So we got about 4 or 5 minutes left. I want to really reiterate the fact that you are open to the public. Mm-hmm. You are open to the campus. You're open to anybody who wants to come in from 7 to 3, Monday through Friday, and 7 to – how late do you stay on Tuesdays?
It just depends.
Five-ish.
Five, six-ish.
Okay, so that's for pickup and casseroles and things like that. So basically, when we first talked about this, I talked about supper, and we both said, let's hope we grow into that. And so you came up with the casserole idea, which was incredible. I'm like, that's brilliant. But so right now we don't have supper because I make the joke all the time that at 4:57 on campus, it's me and security.
And me.
Now I add you to the list. People aren't going to leave work after a whole day and stop and eat at the cafe on campus. And we haven't built the clientele up yet to come in from work somewhere else to come in. But we will. So we decided to go breakfast and lunch and then eventually hope to build towards dinner or what I would call supper and then possibly weekend hours for graduate different things as we grow. But so 7 to 3, Monday through Friday – anyone's welcome to come in. There's indoors,
inside or out.
Inside or out, indoor seating out. And even
beautiful
on the hottest days, like I said,
outside.
With the fans, really cool old-fashioned fans with the breeze blowing. It's incredible even on the hot days.
And we also have it's a small conference room and that you can actually reserve during the daytime. You just call me, 770-228-7295. You can reserve that conference room for your group. It doesn't have doors, so if you're looking for a whole lot of privacy, we're not going to have that. The only thing that we ask is that you eat at the cafe.
Exactly.
You cannot bring in outside food, but you eat at the cafe, and you will more than welcome to it. I've got it reserved for a party today. I've got it reserved for Dr. Honeycutt tomorrow.
Right, we got an event tomorrow.
And it'll fit 25 to 30 people in there.
And we have wireless
25
internet.
Better than 30.
Wireless internet. Yeah. Right, 25
Yeah, we have
30.
Wireless internet, and we have a big TV.
Yeah, big TV, Zoom system
use,
or electronic system to do slides, and so it's a great – and again, it isn't private. It's I mean, it is – the doors
three
are open
doors.
And we want them to stay that way. It's part of the barn mystique that we have going on there. But certainly it's something that people can call you with. We try not to turn it out for the day because that's a big part of your seating, but certainly if someone's coming for a lunch meeting – I highly recommend that they come because not only is it good food and everything else, the ambiance in that barn, it's a 1913 barn, and it still is, and we have filled it with Dundee Mill, who was our benefactor, history, and Experiment Station / Griffin Campus history from 1900 all the way up.
Yep.
So it is an incredible experience just to walk around and look at all the photos and all the artifacts we found during Reconstruction or during renovation. And you get to eat a good meal too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the art or the history and all will change periodically. So you need people coming back. But I said that early on. We don't have to change it much anymore. Your food is bringing them back. That's not a. It, I have to tell you, and I tell you this all the time. I may not have said in these exact words, but you being there has surpassed my hope of what it would be. That when I had in my mind a farm to table of some kind. I didn't know exactly what. Again, we didn't have anybody, and poof, you appeared. And it could, I'm not the most religious person in the world, but I believe some things really do happen for a reason.
Absolutely.
This has been an incredible journey so far with incredible food, incredible place to be. So I thank you for being the person that stuck with us for so long to do
well,
that.
Thank you. And I thank the university for allowing me to lease this place. It is, I'm blessed beyond measure. It's a great contract. It's great people. And I am supported beyond what I thought I would be by the people on the campus.
It's been great. Everyone there knows we want you to be successful so well. And the thing is, I didn't have to tell facilities to help you like they do or IT. All I said is we got to make her successful. We have such great people there. They're just kind of taking you under their wing, and that's awesome.
And I take care of them.
I have to be honest. At first, I was disappointed because when you signed on, the taco truck quit coming.
Oh.
That's true.
It was well worth the trade.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
And the reason the taco truck came, they were great coming from Athens and what food service in Athens. Remember, this was brand spanking new idea to have off-campus food. And they said to me, will you even have any customers? And so they sent the Taqueria 1785 truck down just to see if people would show up. And we had great response. So the university, from that standpoint, was like, okay, we get it. When you've had no food since 1889 on campus and suddenly you have food, even if it's not the best food, people are going to show up. But we're lucky enough to have the best food.
Well, you got to give her credit, too. The menu really matches the venue.
It does. Gosh, it does. Absolutely. And that's where I was a good fit for it, because this is what I did anyways.
It really matches well.
It's been perfect. I can't imagine it being any better. I mean, that's been great. Well, listen, we're out of time. It's gone extremely quickly, as it always does. But Marcy Bradbury from The Farm, thank you so much for being on the show today. One more time, give them the number.
Oh, 770-228-7295.
And that's if they want to order casseroles or maybe reserve the room.
Call
About Lunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, website.
It's from the farm at gmail.com.
And then Instagram.
It's from the farm.
And if they follow you on Instagram, then they can, you like I said, I look every morning for that special coming up, and it's a picture of the soup and something else, which always sets me to waiting for noon at noonish. But so, Marcy, thank you for being here. We're so glad you're on the campus. Tony, thank you for another great show, and we'll see everybody, or you'll hear us, I guess, next week.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Be sure to join Dr. Lou Honeycutt and Ted Taylor next week for our next installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News.
Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realty. Proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus and proud to bring you this week's edition of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. As the UGA Griffin Campus grows with the great educational opportunities for our children, Round Oak Resources Tree Farm is growing our future with trees to support and assist our environment. Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realtors are proud supporters of the UGA Griffin Campus